You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. A little later on in the show, Jules and Ali will be here to reflect on Arsenal's 2-0 victory over Leicester in the Carabao Cup. We'll start, though, with Chelsea's thrashing of Barnsley, beating them by 6-0. Gab Marcotti, Xhaka, Hislop and Don Hutchinson with us to reflect on that big win. I suppose the big story out of this, Don, was Kai Havertz getting a hat-trick after what was somewhat of a dodgy start to his campaign in a Chelsea shirt.
Yeah, everyone, I think, on social media have been too quick to sort of get on Kai Havertz's back. The kid's been in the country for 5 minutes. He hasn't played a full 90 minutes yet. He played about an hour against Brighton, 45 minutes against Liverpool, and then scored a hat-trick tonight. So, and, by the way, he was playing in his favourite position in that number 10 role. So, listen, there's obviously a player there. We all know how much of a superstar he is, but give the kid a little bit of time. I think the scoreline doesn't tell the full picture, though, Dan. The early parts of the game, Barnsley were really good. And
No one cares about that, Don. Who cares if Barnsley were good the first 10 minutes, lose 6-0?
No, because the bigger story was that Willy Caballero was actually on fire for about 15, 20 minutes. If he'd have had to pull off his saves, Chelsea could have been 1-0 or 2-0 down.
Oh, Barnsley were terrible. The defensive errors at the back were just shocking, Xhaka. But overall, Kai Havertz getting on the score sheet, giving him a little bit of confidence.
Yeah, and he needed that. And Don's absolutely right. Kai Havertz just arrived at Stamford Bridge, new league, just turned 21 a couple of months ago. Yet, I guess it's because of the price tag, people expect an instant return. But more times than not, especially when you're talking about kids this age, it takes a little bit of time to settle. And that's what you're seeing, which is why I think Frank Lampard had him in the team sheet from the start, gave him the opportunity to come out and play. The goals would have done his confidence the world of good. Another game under his belt. So things are moving in the right direction as far as that goes. And again, I'm with Don. The kind of criticism that he's had to endure early on was just simply ridiculous.
Anything else strike you from this game, Gab? Don't mention the opening 10 minutes of Barnsley.
Okay, or Caballero's great saves. No, I mean, look, just continue with the Havertz thing. I think the guy is a longer-term project who played in a very different situation at Leverkusen. He only just arrived. And the other thing is Lampard has played him in different positions in the first two games. And I think tonight against Barnsley, you wouldn't read too much into that other than the fact that maybe he gains confidence. I think what's going to be interesting is to see how does he use him in the next game? What formation will they play? Will he start the next game? And how will he cope there? I agree. I think possibly if everybody had been fit, if Pulisic and Ziyech had been around, you know, maybe he would have been brought on more slowly because it is a very big jump. It's a very sudden jump for somebody who, you know, 3 weeks ago was still a Leverkusen player and off for the German national team.
Gab, let's talk about Rudiger and Hudson-Odoi. Frank Lampard asked about their future, said that he didn't want to commit to an answer. Both look like they're out of the club.
Yeah, and I don't know. Lampard works with these guys every day. We said before, this is a very, very large squad to manage. So when you think of Callum Hudson-Odoi in particular, it's pretty incredible if you cast your mind back really not that long ago, less than 2 years ago, you had Bayern Munich offering, you know, £40 million to sign Callum Hudson-Odoi, Chelsea committing to a very long-term contract, a very lucrative contract. Then the guy gets hurt, he comes back, and now he's in limbo again. I if Lampard doesn't think he's right for him, I certainly hope from Chelsea's perspective that they loan him out. The Rudiger bit, I simply, frankly, don't understand. I don't know if they need to claw some money back. They want to claw some money back, possibly to help pay for some of the other signings. Maybe he is one of the more saleable assets, although he's defensively anyway. But it does feel as if he's frozen out.
Yeah, Don, they haven't exactly got a plethora of defenders to choose from. The fact that they're willing to let Rudiger go, is this a mistake?
I mean, personally, I think it's a mistake because I think he's Chelsea's best defender. But the only thing is, Dan, looking at his injury record, he's had three operations on his knees in the last 4 years, and one was an ACL. So you don't know behind the scenes. You know, even though his age is with him being 27 and he's banging his prime, but still, you know, Frank and the medical staff will know how durable he is. When I look at Chelsea and I look at all the players that they've got, like Kurt Zouma, Andreas Christensen, Tomori, Thiago Silva, when I look at them, I think their best defender, in my opinion, is Antonio Rudiger. I think he's the best one. He's reliable every single week. But for some reason, whether it's a personnel problem and whether Antonio Rudiger's got too much of a voice inside the dressing room, or it's the fact that, as I said before, he has been plagued with knee injuries and knee surgeries.
Gab, you were nodding quite a lot then.
No, I mean, I agree. It's not like, you know, his other defenders are Beckenbauer and Maldini. You know, it looked as if Tomori was going to leave on loan. It was very close to him going to Everton. I assume if Rudiger goes, then Tomori stays. Also, because otherwise you're going to be undermanned. Thiago Silva is phenomenal, but Thiago Silva is also very old. Zouma and Christensen especially have had ups and downs. So it would seem weird if you leave yourself undermanned. At least, you know, give yourself some options. You're not going to send Rudiger on loan most likely, or it's more difficult to send him on loan. So the logical thing to do, I would have thought, would have been let Tomori go on loan. If you need him, you bring him back in January. If you really want to stick with these players and not invest more in the back. But, you know, like I said, there have to be reasons behind it. But it does make me laugh. Remember way back when Chelsea were first linked to Havertz and all the papers made such a big deal about how Antonio Rudiger rang up Kai Havertz and convinced him to come to Chelsea and really sold him on Chelsea. You know, if these stories are true, then the joke's on Rudiger. And it's a shame because, you know, he's not just a good footballer. He's also a class act.
Meanwhile, Shaka, what's going on in your house?
People are just moving everywhere in this house. I don't know what's going on.
Do you not have any control, Shaka?
Apparently not.
Shaka, reports suggesting that Mendy is a done deal. If it happens today, say, can he walk into the team on Saturday against Crystal Palace at the Bridge?
Maybe Saturday is a little bit too soon, but given the performance that we saw from Willy Caballero, which Don was so complimentary of, I don't see why you let Caballero play on the weekend and then bring Mendy in during, you know, give him a week to bed and or whatever it is. But right now, I just feel that this weekend is a little bit too soon, even if he arrives in London, say, Thursday and you know, is able to train with the team Thursday morning or whatever it is.
Why, Shaq?
I just feel it takes a little bit of time to get to know your defenders, get to know their names, and they get to know you a little bit more.
What do you want to wear a badge? Should they wear a name badge?
I'm just saying. My point is, in the heat of competition, when you've only known these guys 24, 48 hours, it gets a bit much, and I think you need a little bit more time.
Ah, dear. Don, it is quite a debacle, isn't it, considering the whole Kepa situation and where we stand with Chelsea, who have spent so much money, obviously, to reinforce this squad, that they've started the season, well, badly in some eyes because of the Kepa situation.
I was surprised, and not through hindsight, I thought that from match day one, that Frank actually started Kepa. I would have thought the logical thing, in my humble opinion, would be to start Caballero. Then you haven't really got a problem knowing that you're trying to sign Mendy. That would have been a sort of logical way to go, because it's going to be very interesting if Mendy ends up signing this week and can play, obviously, at the weekend. I agree with Shaka. It'll probably be Caballero that starts after his game tonight, and then Mendy on the bench, that you've still got the story of then Kepa not even involved in the match day squad. So it's a problem that he's got to fix. I'm not sure where actually Kepa goes. I'm looking across Europe and they all seem pretty set with their number one. So that's going to be a big problem for him.
Meanwhile, Shaka, I want to talk to you about Jordan Pickford. Everton playing Fleetwood Town today. Everton win, but Pickford conceded two terrible goals. The first one, Dalian at the back. And the second one, I still don't know quite how he doesn't save it.
Yeah, the second one was harder to explain. The first, he took a touch when I don't think he needed to, and then for some very strange reason, didn't realize he was under the kind of pressure that he was. I can't explain that aspect either. But the second was just confusing in how he started to come for the cross, then found himself in no man's land, then started to backtrack. And then the shot in itself was a savable one. And he threw this weird arm at it, and it looked as though he batted down into the goal as opposed to trying to tip it over the crossbar, which I can only assume is what he was trying to do. I don't know what was going through his head. It was as odd as it comes. Thankfully, both mistakes come in a game where it didn't matter. Everton go through. But it was strange.
Don, this is where you shout at me and say, look, Everton won 5-2, Dan. Why are you talking about the goalkeeper? But, of course, the reason we're talking about him is because it's Jordan Pickford, because it's England's number one, because he seems to completely and utterly lost any sort of semblance of form recently. And that second goal, for example, you were saying before that maybe it was for the cameras.
I think that's what Jordan Pickford does. I was chatting to Peter Schmeichel last season, and we were talking about Jordan Pickford, and we both come to the conclusion that he's too emotional. When Jordan Pickford has a really good game, he's high-fiving his centre-halves and he's jumping up and down and he's all over the place. But then Peter was sort of saying, well, what's he like when he has a bad game? How low does he go? You know, Peter was saying, I'm pretty sure Shackle agreed, goalkeepers, they've got to try and keep an even keel and not get too high and not get too low. But when I watch Jordan Pickford, it's almost like he tries to make the easy saves as hard as possible for the cameras. And that was what I saw in the second goal. The first one was a mistake. He should have cleared it first time. He got caught. Mistake number one. Then don't make mistake number two by trying to make a really easy save or easiest save. Try to look so difficult and then you fumble it. And the pressure's now back on him because eyes are going to be on him now, even on social media now. Evertonians, even though they've started the season really well, they've got a question mark about their number one.
Shaq?
Yeah, I totally agree. The only comforting thing here for Jordan Pickford is the game that those errors came in, and you're thankful that they don't count for that much. They don't change or the result or the fact that you're going through to the next round. But of course, Jordan Pickford is going to come into under a lot of scrutiny, given the position that he holds for the England national team. I still think he will be seen as Gareth Southgate's number one. That doesn't change. But he's just got to get back to doing things simply and doing the basics well and putting this behind him as quickly as possible. And Don's right. Don't get caught up in the moment, the highs or the lows. You have to maintain an even keel. What happens at the final whistle, how you celebrate that is entirely up to you. But goalkeepers often don't have that luxury during the course of the game.
When we drew 4-4, Shaq, against Charlton, and you let four goals in, you didn't get too low, did you?
Not at all. I was the same throughout, Don.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. More from the boys and Shaka's crazy loud house on Extra Time. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Be sure to check out the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. The latest one drops on Thursday, so check that out. Jules with us now, as is Ali. Jules, I want to start with you by talking about Angel Di Maria, who has been banned for 4 matches after that spitting incident in Le Classic. You tweeted out the maximum was 6. Why on earth didn't they ban him for 6?
It's a really good question. We don't have yet exactly all the conclusion from the league's discipline committee. What we think is that one, Alvaro, who was the target for Di Maria's pit, didn't have, as we know, the best of attitude during that game. And I think maybe there's a degree of provocation that the discipline committee took on board, really, to reduce a little bit the ban that they gave to Di Maria. Maybe the fact, I don't know, that the spit didn't land on Alvaro. I'm quite baffled, I have to say, that he got away with a 4-game ban instead of a 6-game ban. I even think that it could have been more than 6 and no one would have had anything to say, especially in the current context with the pandemic. Yeah. The fact that 2 weeks before the game he tested positive for it. I think it was a disgrace what Di Maria did, and I think 4 games is a... He could be very happy with that, and so could be PSG.
Ali?
Let's just go down the path of trying to defend Angel Di Maria. Well, that is a very slippery slope. And let's just then suggest, well, perhaps the fact that he spit towards Alvaro, but not directly on Alvaro, then maybe that's why he gets 4. Let's say that we accept that for a second. Well, what about the stupidity test that he failed miserably? Because as Julian just mentioned, the fact that he tested positive for COVID, the fact that all the protocols that are going on around all leagues, including Ligue 1, and he then decides, guess what? Let me go with spitting. Let's go with that. Let's make that the solution to all of our issues. Angel Di Maria, just on the stupidity scale, deserves 6 games. 4 is just way, way too lenient. He deserved far more than this. And what he did is inexcusable in the best of times, and certainly inexcusable in the current reality we live in.
Meanwhile, we're still waiting for any sort of conclusion regarding the Neymar and the racism incidents, Jules.
It will be next week, Dan. We know that the committee said that we will have all the conclusions next week, next Wednesday on the 30th of September. So by then they will have an extra week to, again, have a proper look at everything. I think they will prepare also the questions that they will have for Alvaro and for Neymar and maybe other players that they would want to bring in. But certainly by next Wednesday, we should know what will happen to both Neymar and Alvaro, because they could both be banned, both be in trouble for the insult that they both mentioned, racial one. For both sides, it's so strange to talk in that way, but yeah, another week and then we will know.
Meanwhile, both of you were charged with watching the Arsenal-Leicester game today. Arsenal winning by 2-0, a couple of great goals, Ali. How would you sum up this game?
Look, it's good for Arsenal.
Yeah, I like that.
It's good the fact that they continue to have young players that are playing well and having a major role in their success. And not just because of today's performance against Leicester, but let's go back to the second goal against West Ham on the weekend, the game-winning goal, in which you're thinking, all right, late in the match, you need a game-winning goal. It's certainly going to come through Aubameyang. It has to be Aubameyang. Well, the truth is that they did not need Aubameyang in that particular sequence. When you consider that the goal comes from Saka to Ceballos to Nketiah, then you're thinking, you know what? There is reason here to be very optimistic about the current reality of Arsenal and the future of Arsenal, and thinking it doesn't have to be Aubameyang. More times than not, it's going to be him. But they have shown, these young players have shown, so far anyways, that they can also be relied upon to score an important goal. We saw some of the same things today from Saka and Nketiah. I think that Arsenal fans should be very happy about what Arsenal is right now and potentially what they could become.
Jules?
Yes, that's right. The momentum, the confidence, keep going with the win. At times, I thought they took a lot of risk defensively from playing from the back, but that's what Arteta wants, and they will keep doing it. It could have cost them, because I think Leicester, there's a couple of occasions where they should have or could have exploited the ball that Arsenal lost in their own 30 yards for trying to play out from the back a bit better, but they didn't. And in the end, especially in that second half, I think the way Arsenal played was very encouraging with almost a B team, because a lot of the usual starters were resting Madrid or on the bench. So it's really promising, and then it's another step forwards. Clearly you could see what they're learning with Arteta, what he wants them to put together, whether it's the first team or, as we said again, the B team. It's working, and I think they're all on board for the same thing, the same direction, and that's what has been missing for so many years.
Meanwhile, Barcelona made it official. Ali, Luis Suarez heading to Atletico Madrid. First chance I've had to talk to you about it. How much does this help Atleti's title potential?
I think this is, on paper, a match made in heaven. If there was ever a picture of a player that would fit the profile of a Diego Simeone player, it is indeed Luis Suarez. And let's not forget and let's not ignore the emotional component of this move for Luis Suarez. If he had gone to Juventus and walked out the back door of Barcelona, even though there would have been hard feelings, well, he's in a different league, he's in a different country, see you guys later, take care, turn the lights off, time to go home. In this case, he's going to Atletico Madrid. And that emotional component, which is what drives Luis Suarez as a player, that indeed is the one that he's going to live with. That's the one that he's going to play with. That chip on his shoulder, that idea of, you know what, you made a mistake. You should not have let me go. You should not have treated me the way that you treated me. And I'm going to prove it to you. And I will tell you that when healthy, Luis Suarez can still be an effective player and a dangerous player and a player that Atletico Madrid need. When healthy. Mm. And that's the caveat for me. If Luis Suarez is fit, Atletico Madrid will benefit. Will benefit so much that they will be a certain contender in La Liga. If he's not fit, then we're back to the days of Diego Costa and struggling to score goals for Atletico Madrid.
Boys, thank you very much. Of course, the transfer window shuts next month. For all the latest news as and when it happens, go over to the website and check out Transfer Talk. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. For most, Bayern Munich are the best club team in the world at the moment. Not, though, for Gab Marcotti. He is concerned about the lack of depth within this team. Ali and Jules with us, Gab with us as well to talk about this article. Gab, what's your main concern here?
Okay, so first of all, they may well still be the best team in the world, 1-11. They're exceptionally good, and they have a couple very good substitutes. But in certain key areas, I think they're undeniably short. That's why they're right back. They're trying to get Sergino Dest to provide an alternative to Pavard in midfield. Once you get beyond the two starters, there's Corentin Tolisso, who has had his injury problems in the past, and really nobody else apart from Cousins, who's hardly played thus far. And also on the wings, you know, you've got two very good wingers. You've added Leroy Sané, who played all of 12 minutes last year in Flick's system. With all the games that are going to be played this season, and it is going to be a compressed season, Hansi Flick has made it pretty clear he'd love to have another winger. And this goes beyond, obviously, some of the other issues, the fact that Lewandowski is backed up by Xerxes, the fact that Müller is really backed up by nobody unless you're just going to start moving players around. You know, they lost a lot of bodies over the summer. They lost five players over the summer, and they've really only brought in one.
So can they bring in anyone at the moment, Jules? Obviously, still time in the transfer window.
Yeah, I think you could expect them, certainly, to strengthen that squad. We spoke yesterday on the show about Sergino Dest and that the need for a right back, someone who either can compete with Pavard or be his number two, depending on how you want to play. And I think Dest would fill that position so well. And then I think they're also looking at midfield for sure, trying to maybe find a body there, and up front as well. I agree with Gab, someone who could maybe play in all three positions up front, ideally that would be the best, who could replace Lewandowski and give him a rest, who can also play wide if needed, someone like that. Because like Gab said, they lost, you know, five players, and some players who, okay, maybe were not starters like Coutinho or Perisic, but who were very important players still, and at some point brought a lot to that team. And also, let's not forget that defensively they got lucky in many respects to be able to have David Alaba stepping in like he did at centre back, and especially Alphonso Davies then at left back, because it could have been far more difficult for them defensively with all the injuries they had through the season to cope with that, because even in that department they were quite light last season.
Ali, do you agree with Gab? Bayern could be relegation fodder this season?
Very much so. Hit all the panic buttons. This is a problem. How can we be so concerned about a team that just got done winning the Champions League and has not lost a game in who knows how long? And in this very long article that Gab wrote, he points that out in the very first paragraph. So hang on to that, Gab. You actually said it. This, some of the concerns that both Jules and Gab are bringing on, they had those concerns last year, and it seemed to work out just well. I just think that let's give them some time. There's still some time in the transfer market. It's not done. The business is not done just yet. But the bodies that Gab is talking about that walked out of that door, well, Philip Coutinho, okay. It's not like everybody was lining up and saying, hey, we want Coutinho. Perisic is also walking out that door, perhaps. Okay, isn't it an upgrade to have Leroy Sané? I think it is. And while we may be concerned about Thiago Alcántara, the truth is that Thiago Alcántara also spent time in the injured list. He, too, was a player that had difficulty staying fit, to the point to where there were moments in which Pavard was playing right back, Kimmich was playing in the middle with Goretzka, and Alcántara was watching from the bench. So it, to me, I just think that we are trying to reach and find reasons as to why Bayern may just be vulnerable. But man, after they just destroyed Schalke, it's very difficult to make that argument.
Ali's saying, Gab, you're just writing articles for the sake of it.
No, I'm not. I'm basically readdressing the fact that something Hansi Flick has also brought up, and it's something that's actually been a pretty big talking point. That's why they're going for Sergino Dest. I wouldn't also ignore the fact that how much shorter the season is this year, because you have the Euros coming up in the summer, because the season started later. They're only going to get a two-week break at Christmas rather than the usual four-and-a-half-week break that they get. So I think this is a concern. And look, I think Jules is right. I think they are going to address it. They have a little time left. They're going to continue to pursue Dest. Maybe they'll get somebody else if they don't get Dest. I think Perisic, you know, they didn't want to meet Inter's agreed upon price, but, you know, you can always negotiate. There's no room for Perisic at Inter. Inter need funds. Maybe you can get him back on loan, or maybe you can negotiate a lower fee. And I think in midfield, they may bring somebody in or maybe trust some of the kids. But it is something that you're concerned about, because you've had big injuries before. And, you know, you don't know when it's going to hit. And there's going to be a lot of wear and tear on this team and on these players going into the Euros. This has never happened. We've never had a season like the one that is coming up.
Well, next up for Bayern, they'll be taking on Hoffenheim in the second round of matches in the Bundesliga. Elsewhere, you've got Augsburg taking on Borussia Dortmund, and it's Bayer Leverkusen against Leipzig.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C-E-bikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been with us. Stay tuned. No extra time. Sees Don, Gab, and Shaka answer your tweets. I almost forgot who was on extra time, but you won't, because it's coming up now. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. We've got Gab, Shaka, and Don with us. Don's got his disco balls still up. And are they some Russian dolls in the background, Don? What are they?
Some Russian dolls, Marlon Harewood, Teddy Sheringham, myself, and Bobby Zamora, and Stephen Bywater.
Who's the bigger one?
That is Marlon Harewood, number 10.
So you, which one are you, the really tiny one, insignificant one?
Let me just bring him in there.
Oh,
just,
dear.
Number four.
Just token. Number four. Who else we stick out? I'll put Don in there, that'll do.
Yeah, just put Don in there. Shaka's not there, don't worry. Bywater. Stephen Bywater got in, Shaka.
Okay. Which return happens first? Dan's sanity when his kids return to a classroom or Shaka's power rankings? October the 11th, apparently, they will go back full-time at school. Shaka, power rankings before then. What's happened to them? Everyone's playing.
I don't know. No, nobody's asked me about my power rankings before now.
Well, maybe you need to be more proactive.
So I've just kind of gone along. No.
No?
No, I'm not.
Shaka, why don't you just tell them that you need a proper amount of data to scientifically compile your power rankings, and that right now the sample size is just too small.
Yeah, but I'm trying to drag it out for as long as possible, Gab.
Okay. After Suarez was shown crying, I'm not sure if he was crying, he just looked a bit sad, leaving Barcelona training for the last time. What was the saddest you ever were to leave a club? Don, you've left many clubs.
Yeah, I've left 11 of them. probably Everton, when I was fortunate enough to have the armband, Dan, and I was captain of that great football club. And my contract was running down and they had no money at the time, so they had to let me go. So I went to Sunderland. Quite sad, though.
What was Duncan Ferguson's reaction when you took the armband off him?
Oh, my days, Dan. Honestly, I had to sit opposite Duncan. And the funny story was, we drew 0-0, I think, against Leeds on a Saturday. And Walter Smith, the manager, came in and he went for me and he really, really had a go at me. And he had a go at me and he had a go and loads of verbals. And I knew I had a good game. So I said, don't react, don't react, don't react. Anyway, he kept coming and coming and coming. I reacted. I said something. Got me up on against the wall.
Wow.
Pushed me up against the wall and he went, you'll never play for this football club again. Get in your car, go home. So I went to see him Monday morning. He made me a cup of tea, or we had a cup of tea and a chat, and he went, Dave Unsworth, hard man? And I've gone, yep. And he went, Dave Watson, hard man? I've gone, yep. He went, Duncan Ferguson, hard man? I've gone, yep. He went, where were those three when I had you up against the wall? You'll now be Everton captain.
Ooh.
I had to try and explain that one to Dunk the next morning. He was not happy.
No. Wow. There's a lot to unpack from this story, Don.
Yeah.
It was a Don, test. I was
always told that Walter, I mean, I've had the opportunity to speak to him, spent a little bit of time with him. He's always a super nice guy. And I was always told that he was always the good cop. And he had this really mean guy named Archie Knox.
Archie Knox.
Who was the bad cop. Is that not the case?
Yes and no. I mean, I love Walter and I loved Archie. Two completely different characters, you're right, Gab. But apparently he tried the same trick or the same scenario when he was the Rangers manager. And basically what he was doing, he was testing my mentality as if to say I was going to take so much abuse from him inside the dressing room. Was I just going to go under, put my head down, just take it all? I wasn't going to stand up for myself. And more importantly, he wanted the other players inside the dressing room to try and back me. And they didn't, and I was the only one that stood up for myself. So he then took the armband off Big Dunk, which didn't go down too well with him.
No.
And then I got the armband on the Tuesday morning. So great, massive honour, but still, I literally got changed, I reckon, about 4 feet, 5 feet away from dunk every morning, and it was frosty.
Did it ever thaw out?
No, because I wouldn't let it, because dunking was just far too hard. What am I going to do? I just, you know, if I was going to do anything, I'd just scarf it at the dressing room. But it was really weird, because every time I come in, he then walked out. And every time he sort of come in, I just sort of walked out. We had that relationship
wow.
for about, yeah, like that for a couple of weeks, until we both just sat down and we just sort of just got on with it.
God, Don.
It's what it is. Listen, football's a brutal business. You know, Shaka knows and Gab knows. When you're in dressing rooms, it's not easy.
Don, if Duncan Ferguson were to walk into your house right now, as you're talking to us, would you leave the room?
Probably, Gab. Yeah.
Would you call the cops?
Think, what's he doing 6 hours away from Merseyside?
There he is, boasting about taking the armband off me again. I heard you, Don. I'm on my way.
Cut all that, by the way. Cut that story for the last 15 minutes.
Cut that.
Put that on there, in case he sees it.
Oh, man. Shaka, I can't imagine anyone had you up against the wall.
No, I don't have any of those stories to tell.
Wow.
Everybody's kind of kicking me out the door. Shaka, I'm pretty sure you were in a West Ham dressing room when Paolo Di Canio started a massive fight at half-time. And he started a fight with Ian Pearce, Christian Daly, and Thomas Repka. Were you there?
Me and Paolo had a meltdown. We played away at Birmingham City in the Cup at midweek one night. He was supposed to be at the end of the wall. Because you know, you choose out who's supposed to be in the wall, you know, when before the game. He was supposed to be in the wall, and then at the last minute decided to go run about somewhere, and the guy just bred the ball right around the wall into the bottom corner, right where Paolo was supposed to be on the end of the wall. But he just took off running for some reason. So I came into the dressing room at half time, went to the board, see who was supposed to be in the wall, saw it was Paolo, and then started having a go at him. And it kind of went from there. Les Seeley put me to sit down. It was with Harry and Frank Lampard Sr. were the coaches at the time. And well, needless to say, neither of them had seen me kind of react that way, and they you know, kind of dragged me to one side of the dressing room, and all three kind of stood around me in the corner, trying to keep me in the corner. And Paolo, being Paolo, then decided to go into total meltdown mode and started throwing the teapots and the blackboard and all sorts. And Les was just basically sitting on top of me, telling me so I wouldn't react because he was wrong, and I had lost it, and they'd never seen me react that way. But we won the game. We ended up winning the game, so it kind of moved on, you know, brushed it aside at the end of it all.
You're always saying, and it's something that I can't quite comprehend, maybe because outside of a dressing room, you maybe hold a grudge more. You always say, but then you forget about it. But do you really? Surely it's still simmering a little bit.
Depending on the result. Go on, Shaq. Go on.
Now, I was just going to say, in that game, in that Birmingham City game, at the end, when we won, I went straight over to Paolo. And, you know,
punched
just kind of gave him a hug, put my arm around, and we walked off. So it was done. So there was no grudge. There was no grudge there.
It's a little bit like the Eddie Nketiah and Ceballos story on Match Day 1 when they were having a warm-up before the game. I don't know if you guys seen it. And they got into a little bit of fisticuffs. They were worn up. They were both substitute, and they both... we're having a little fisticuff on the pitch. Well, fast forward a week, and Ceballos actually put one on a plate for Eddie Nketiah, and they're both high-fiving each other and cuddling each other. So that's just the way it is.
With Suarez and Rakitic gone, Gab, who will Barcelona fans get angry at during match games?
Oh, I'm sure they can find somebody. I mean, Antoine Griezmann seems to be the prime candidate. I would imagine Ronald Koeman will get a ton of stick as well. There's always somebody to blame at Barcelona when they're not doing well. I mean, I know this is the case at most clubs, but I think at Barcelona they raise it to an art form.
Don, is the Premier League more competitive compared to other leagues? We don't see one club dominating for a decade here.
I think it's more dominant in terms of how many teams can actually beat everyone. And when I look at probably different countries and different leagues, like the Bundesliga, you don't really see too many scary results. A little bit different, I would imagine, or what I've seen in Serie A, but you normally have the top two or three that are competing. You know, like last weekend, Crystal Palace beat Man United and beat them 3-1, but actually walloped them. Scoreline could have been a lot bigger. So I think the teams, the big teams in the Premier League, have to work for every single result.
That,
every now and again, you get.
That's rubbish, Don.
Every now and again, you get four or five.
Look at Liverpool last season. They won 26 of their first 27 matches.
You have to work for them.
Not really.
I don't think any result in the Premier League is a given.
Oh, Don.
Look at Bayern.
You're better than that.
Look at Bayern match day one. Lost Thiago, had a couple of players injured, won 8-0.
Look at Manchester City's results over the last 3 years. How many teams have they spanked?
Did you see Man City at the weekend?
Against a very good Wolves team.
Yeah, but how they won the game, I'll never know. Wolves should actually beat them. They were missing sitters for fun.
But that's
one competitive match,
Wolves,
isn't it? Look at
Wolves finished what, six last season? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think like this whole competitiveness thing is how long is a piece of string. I think what strikes me a little bit is, and the point I always make is, the top six. There is such a gulf in resources, in wages, that for one of the big six not to finish top six, they really, really have to go out and poo all over the bed, or screw the pooch, or whatever euphemism you want to use, which is kind of what's happened occasionally the last few years. And it's that much harder for anybody to break into the top six or do what Leicester did. I don't think that situation exists anywhere else in Europe. What you have elsewhere is you, of course, have super dominant teams like Paris Saint-Germain or Juve or Bayern that have won the league a ton in a row. So it depends, I think, on what your definition of competitiveness is.
Look at Bayern. If they're in the Premier League, Don, West Brom, they could put eight past them, no problem. Southampton, they could put eight past them. Fulham.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're not mentioning, you know, Man City, Liverpool, Tottenham, Arsenal.
Yeah, but you brought up Schalke, who haven't won since 1973.
All right, well, my humble opinion, if you get all the teams in the Bundesliga, you get all the teams in Serie A, and you get all the teams in La Liga and Paris Saint-Germain, I'll bet you an English team would come out on top.
Yeah, but that's not what the question is, though. The question
is
which league is...
I know.
No, but the question is which league is more competitive, right?
Why?
It's not which league is better.
Why would an English team come up on top?
Because I believe they would, and I think that team would be Liverpool. I think they're better than anyone else in Europe at the moment.
Ooh.
You don't agree?
Champions League or something.
if only.
Yeah, if only they didn't play Lyon.
Atleti, Don. Right.
I was Man City.
Oh, no, yep. Another Premier League team he would have won if it wasn't for the fact they didn't. Right, Gab, who wins in a four-a-side match? Now, focus here. You've got on one team, Shaka, Stevie, Don, and Ali. And then on the other side, Casey, Frank, Craig, and Jan.
Ooh.
Oh.
Okay, now, wait, here's an important question. Is this them now, or is this them at the peak of their powers?
Let's do both.
At the peak of their powers, I would have to lean to Steve, I'd have to go with Stevie's team.
Because of
at
Stevie?
At the peak of their powers. Sorry?
Because of Stevie.
That's with me.
But equally because of Stevie.
But carry on.
Right now, I would have to go with the other team. I'm sure you agree, Shaka, right? it is evenly matched, but you know.
That's a good Don. Would you fancy your chances with those three?
On both occasions, yeah, in our prime and now.
Yeah.
Jan's not going to be able to get around the pitch.
No, he's going to be interviewing people halfway through. answering the phone about Jadon Sancho's future. With Suarez and Costa Atleti, is this the dirtiest combination up front? It's pretty filthy, isn't it? What do you think, Don?
It's not bad, as I was trying to think of who Big Dunk played up front with.
Bring him up again. Bring him up again, Don.
Trying to get him back on my side, Dan. Give me a chance to get him back in my good books.
Too late.
Well, I should have thought that before you went behind his back to get the captain's armband.
Listen, I don't think it's a scarier prospect than them two playing together, is it?
Oh, it's pretty filthy.
And Simeone, the manager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, Gab, who's going to be this season's Serie A top scorer? Cristiano, Zlatan, or Immobile?
I really, 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 really struggle with this one. I think I predicted Lukaku, so okay. None of those three. Just because, Cristiano scores a lot of goals, but I think I just don't know where Juve are going to be, or how they're going to look like under Pirlo. Immobile, he can't do this again, although that's what they've said the last 3 years. And Zlatan is 39, although as he reminded us, or he's 38, I should say, as he reminded us the other day that, you know, it's cut his goal scoring in half. He said that, you know, the other day when he scored two goals on Monday night, I think it was against Bologna, he said, I only scored the two goals because I'm 38. Had I been 20, I would have had four.
Has Pele ever comp? Did you give me an answer then, Gab? You said Lukaku.
Yeah.
Oh, internet. There you are. No one cares. Right, that's gone. Okay. Has Pele ever complimented Gab's writing or Don's colour commentary? That's the back of yesterday, where Frank LaBeouf brought up the fact that Pele complimented his play, said it made him happy. And then Frank decided he loved Pele, but he hates Maradona because Maradona didn't talk to him when they met. Don, has Pele ever said anything nice to you?
No, probably he's not even heard of me. I mean, Frank's as fickle as they come, though, isn't he? Let's have it right.
I don't think you need the word probably in front of that sentence, to be honest, Don. Gab, you've probably met both, haven't you?
Both Pele and Don, you mean? Or... the thing about Pele, and I'm told it's not just me, but I've met him, I think, 5 times, and I don't know that he necessarily remembers me because he meets a ton of people, but every time he acts as if he's met you before.
Right.
And so he comes up, he puts the arm on your shoulder, he asks how the family is and everything. So, and he talks about what a swell guy you are. So yeah, I could say he's complimented me. I don't think he knows my work or anything like that, but he certainly makes you feel special.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice, isn't it?
Well,
that
takes away Frank's special feeling. Is Morata a good fit for Juventus, Don? And how many goals will he score this season?
I think so. I think he is. When you've got people like Dybala and Ronaldo wrapped around you, Aaron Ramsey, if he plays, there's plenty guys who are playing for Juve that can create chances. It's whether he's fit and whether he's sharp and he stays fit, because he's, in my opinion, that type of player where you wouldn't really want him in the build-up, even though he's decent at it. You want him, you know, making those darting little 15, 20-yard runs, and when he gets in front of goal, you fancy him. So if he hits the ground running, I don't see why he can, you know, why not he can get more than 20.
Wow. Xhaka, have you ever scored a goal as a goalkeeper in training or in a match?
In training, yeah, a few times. As a professional goalkeeper, I haven't scored a goal in a match. I scored a few when I was playing in college in the States back in the day, back in the good old day.
Oh,
but not as a pro.
Don, do goalkeepers?
There is that one incident that I've spoken to you, I've mentioned to you, Dan, where I cleverly dummied the ball for Anton Ferdinand to finish at the far post. I gave him the opportunity to have my name on the score sheet.
Yep.
Because Anton was in a better position than I was. Yep, it's on YouTube.
Yep, that's when you went up for a corner. You've got to check this out on YouTube, because Xhaka literally ducks out of the way, scared of the ball.
And I saw Anton Ferdinand in a better position than me. So yeah. I drew the defence and let it go through to Anton.
Don, is it fair to say that pretty much all goalkeepers fancy themselves as outfield players?
Yeah, and all outfield players fancy themselves in goal. I was lucky enough, unfortunate enough, to play in goal for Sheffield United against Ipswich.
Oh.
And I thought I'd done quite well. I was doing okay, and crosses were coming in the box, Shaq. And I wasn't trying to catch it, I was chesting it, and I was playing it out to my right back. And unfortunately, with about 15 minutes to go, it was muddy, and I had the wrong footwear on, I had rubbers on, and I tried to push off, and I fell flat on my face, and the Ipswich player tucked it in the bottom corner. But we drew 1-1. didn't lose the game.
Oh, Dom, that's got to be on YouTube as well.
Might be.
I want to see Ipswich. You falling on your face.
Ipswich versus Sheffield United.
Oh, wow.
What year would that have been? 97, 98.
Okay, we'll check it out.
Ish.
Final question for Gab. What small city or town in Italy has the best Italian food that hardly anyone outside of Italy would know about?
Oh, goodness. I mean, this is a very... I could give you a very, very long answer, but then everybody would get extremely cross with me if I did that. So I'm going to mention one of my favorite foodie cities in Italy. And it's not super small, but it's not one of the big cities either. It's Perugia, which is where Luis Suarez took his... you can also go there and after you have lunch, go and take your Italian citizenship test.
So where he took his test.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just looking on YouTube now to see if I can see this game, Don.
It might not be on there.
I don't know. Anyway, maybe I should do that when we're not doing this segment.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea.
I think that's probably best. Oh, that's it. By the way, Gab, Don is a steak well done, man.
Yeah.
Stop. Come on, man. You're winding. I know a wind up.
He's Northern.
A man of the world like Don would not be a steak well done, man. That wouldn't make any sense.
I couldn't think of anything worse, Gab, than looking down at my steak and seeing blood on the plate.
Yeah, there are different levels of cooking. you don't necessarily have to have blood on your plate, and you don't need to cook your steak until it's burnt. You know that.
I'll buckle to medium well.
No.
In a nice little place called Via Reggio.
Yeah, where they're like, oh look, let's take this Anglo scot for his money here.
I've done a pre-season in a place called El Choco. Do you know that place, Gab?
Il Choco, yep. El would be Spanish.
And we went to Via Reggio. Walter Smith took us to Via Reggio, one of the nicest beaches I've ever been to.
Did Walter know that you had your steak well done?
No,
I don't think he would have stood for it.
No, Archie wouldn't have.
No, he would have sent Archie around, yeah.
Right, that's it. We are done. Thank you very much, everybody. we'll be back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye.
Take care. Have a good one.
All right, Gab, thanks.
Gab's the